Today is traditionally Good Shepherd Sunday. It's the patron celebration of all parishes dedicated to El Buen Pastor, or the Good Shepherd. And I think it presents us with a little dilemma. Most of us are fairly citified and probably have never lived in shepherding country or sheep. And there are a couple of things we need to know about sheep and shepherds. First of all, this preached really easy in Jesus' day and in where he was, because shepherds were a common thing. It preached fairly easy when I was in Eastern Oregon as bishop, because for many, many years, Eastern Oregon was the premier sheep-raising part of the entire United States. But folks who think that sheep basically are little lambies that we see on TV sometimes, or their tasty chops that we have mint or something else on it, we need to understand that sheep are not the bright lights of the animal kingdom. We'll put it that way. Sheep need to be taken care of. They tend to be dirty, smelly, and not real bright. And we need to remember that all of us are called sheep by Jesus. In this metaphor, we are the sheep, and he is the good shepherd. And that's the good news, that it's not about how bright we are, or how clean we are, or how clever we are, or how good looking we might be, or whatever that it is we are and have. The thing that matters to the shepherd is simply that we are. What a shepherd does is love the sheep and take care of them. What the good shepherd does, because it is who he is love us and take care of us. And the lessons, I think, look at this reality, this image, in terms of community. Communities are perhaps one of God's strangest creations after individual human beings. We're all parts of all kinds of communities. We're a community of our own individual family. We're members of organizations like Boards and Lions and Kiwanis and Rotary and Bridge Club and Country Club. We're communities of political parties. We're communities about causes. And this community is a community about God. This is a community that's called and held together by the Good Shepherd. This is a community that lives because the Spirit lives within us, moves as the Spirit moves among us, works as the Spirit leads us to work in all of the other communities of which we're a part. We're a community, and the Good Shepherd is the head of this community. And because we're sheep, we also don't have to worry about getting it all right all the time. And even in the gospel, I want you to know that in my mind, when John writes, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. There's a big silent parenthesis that says, again. And then there was a pause while I'm sure Jesus restrained himself from a major eye roll. So again, John says nicely, Jesus said to them, I am the gate. Now when John uses that phrase, I am the gate, it's what we call an I am statement. And go back to Moses and the burning bush. What did God tell Moses to tell Pharaoh his name was when Pharaoh asked? I am. And when John uses that phrase, I am, he is saying something very important to us about who Jesus is. This isn't just somebody who happens to be a shepherd. I am is speaking to us as I am spoke to the disciples, as I am spoke to Moses. And what I am tells us is that I am is the gate, the way in, la puerta. Into what? Into life. And not just a little bit of life, or just make it by, or just so-so life, but life in abundance. Abundance. Muy rica. Rich and deep and transformative and wonderful. Life in and with God. So this is a community for which that's the center, that's the foundation. Everything else hinges on that. But you and I know that whenever there are a group of people, we have to figure out how we're going to get along with each other. Now, one of the things that I always loved about small towns was that when they were bad, they were extraordinarily bad. But the bottom line was we still all had to live with each other. And so you learned how to get along. You figured out how to live in a community with each other. And if you grew up in the South like I did, the community began with, now who are you people? You were never just yourself. You were the son of someone, the grandson of someone, the nephew of someone, the daughter of someone, the niece of someone. And all those little networks were the tissue of one community. And everybody knew who you were. Back to that piece about knowing names. Nobody's a number. Everybody's a name, a particular individual. And we know the Good Shepherd's voice, and the Good Shepherd knows ours. And shepherds can tell you about how that works with sheep. It actually really does work. But for us, it's probably more like the parent that hears a squeal on the playground and turns around and looks very carefully and quickly because they know that voice. That's my child. Or less intense, perhaps, is family dogs are very clear about whose voice they pay attention to and whose they don't. So a stranger comes in and calls the dog or tries to interact with the dog, and nothing much happens. But if the dog's kid comes in and calls him, right there. If the master's voice is heard, the dog comes and sits or heels or whatever. Jesus knows us in this community in that way. No one of us is a number. You're not your immigration number. You're not your social security number. You're the name that your mother and father gave you and that you were baptized with. We are each a person. So that tells us that figuring out how to live together as a community is about figuring out how to honor that truth about the particular person each of us is. And the early church had to do that. Acts tells us that they did it by adopting a pattern of life together. I hope it immediately came to mind, the question in the baptismal covenant when you heard the words, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. There was a pattern of life, a way of living as part of being community. And it's focused somewhere. It's focused in patterns of behavior that relate to the core person for us, to the core values that come out of that relationship. They tell us that they decided that they ought to share everything. Now, St. Benedict was so certain that this was absolutely correct that in his rule, he absolutely forbade almost even the thought of private property. A Benedictine is not allowed to own anything. A Benedictine is not allowed to receive anything from friends or family. They own nada. And Benedict says, the community is always to see that they are cared for, that they have shelter that is good, that they have food that is sufficient and good, that they have clothes that are simple and efficient and comfortable. And he's kind of funny. He says there's no point in giving somebody ill-fitting shoes so that they're always complaining and worried about how badly their feet hurt and they can never get anything done. That's a waste of resources. The community takes care of the community. Now, this community may have to translate that in a different kind of way, but the principle holds. Part of the style, part of the way we live together is to live together so that we take care of one another. That's what the Good Shepherd does for us, and therefore we do for each other. And I think it's interesting that the other thing that is noted is that they ate and they did their life with glad and generous hearts. This is not a life to be burdened down and oppressed. And at least for Kathy and me, it was sort of like living in the state of Connecticut. I don't know whether any of you have lived in Connecticut or not. But Connecticut seems to be brilliant at figuring out what a good way to do something is and what a really hard way to do something is. And they always do the hard one. It took 3 days to get inspected, licensed, and insured for our cars. 3 days in three different locations. That's not what this community is supposed to be about. We do our life together with glad and generous hearts. It's that joy, that gladness of God in us, and the generous heart of the Good Shepherd that is the model of how we live with one another. And then 1 Peter reminds us that this wonderful ideal is not just going to fall out of the sky and happen. And it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be very, very hard. We don't much like each other sometimes. And we do things that are really kind of mean and nasty. And we're good at it. We don't hear when somebody wants us desperately to hear. We don't see when we're looking right at something. We do thoughtless things. We hurt one another. Our own brokenness impacts the community. The brokenness of the world impacts our capacity to be shepherds of one another, to be good sheep. It's not going to be easy, but it is doable. It is doable because God says so. It is doable because God is with us. It is doable because we have promised that when we seek to love and serve God and live in this community, we will do so with God's help. And so we open our hearts and minds and souls for the Spirit to come and live within us, for the presence of Jesus to be with us, for the power and life of the Father to flow through us. When it gets hard, we need to listen louder. When it gets hard, we need to remember who is the Good Shepherd and what is our core and who is the source of our life. When it gets hard, we need to hunker down with one another so that with God's help, we can rise to meet whatever the challenge is. And with glad and generous heart, live through it. And we need to remember when things are wonderful. We need to learn from when things are wonderful, when our hearts are glad, our spirits sing, our joy with one another is present and palpable. We need to remember that because we need to remember what we did to make ourselves so joyful. We need to remember those things so that we can remember that God comes in joy and delight and wonder in the abundance of our life. We need to remember these things so that we do them again. If it works, if it gives life, if it brings joy, if it fills us with compassion, if it supports the other, if it strengthens the community, we need to remember that so that we do it again and again and again. And then we discover that the gate, the Good Shepherd, is always open. Is always open for the straggler, for the miscreant, for the one person. The gate is always open. The life of this community is always available. The presence and love of God is always here. And we come here to renew that. And we go out the gate to find the pasture. Whatever that looks like, whatever it might be. Because that is where life is. And God is there with us. So let us give thanks today for this wonderful, strange, and peculiar day, filled with the abundance of God's love and life, and for the joy and the opportunity to take that abundant life with us and through us into this world out here. Amen. Amen.